Well, greetings, saints. Thank you so much for being with us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. Father, we ask you to help us today, train us today to walk by faith, and cause us to be immune to the plagues and curses upon this world through obedience and faith. Thank you so much today, Lord, for bringing all these things to our remembrance and giving us these examples. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think I'm going to talk about plague exercise today, because that's what we had. The chemtrail crud, which many think is flu or pneumonia, is all over the United States and at the same time. And what could do that? Of course, spraying from the air can do that. The hospitals are full of people suffering and some dying from what they're calling the flu or pneumonia. And we're hearing from people from north to south that this is happening. This is a man-made thing, kind of like the coming plague, but both are sent by God for reasons that we've already stated. The Lord told me that this is an exercise, this chem crud thing. It's an exercise to prepare us for the plague, which at this point is still coming for the purpose of judging the wicked, taking down the faction, delivering many righteous from leavened relationships, so the people will not be unequally yoked, so they can serve the Lord. And also, the Lord is going to use this to take some people home who would not stand in the days ahead, as he explained to us. But through this chem crud exercise, we're calling it, God wants to show us what to do and what not to do to escape the coming plague. At local UBM, some have had the symptoms, but all have just about overcome them. Before our last meeting, I sent to them this message. I said, come by faith this afternoon and bring your examples of faith and failure. We will learn to escape. And when we heard of the faith and some failure testimonies and learned from them to apply this knowledge to worse things to come, and here's a few testimonies that we have in text. There were many more than this, but this is a few that we had in text. Here's Deb Horton's testimony. She said, hi, all. We had to leave before I could give my testimony about this crud. When Willard and I went up to Maryland to visit our daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren, Ryan, 11, appeared to have recovered from it. And then, while we were there, Jake, who was 6, became very ill, running a 103-degree fever, and he was vomiting. And then Ryan and Callie, 9, both caught it and were also vomiting. And then Ellie and Dave both caught it. I had been cuddling with Callie and Jake, and Willard had played Jenga with Callie. 2 days after we got home, Dave and Ellie and the kids went to the doctor, and it was confirmed that they all had the, quote, flu, unquote. And Willard came down with it the next day, and I was concerned because of his previously having contracted pleurisy, though, as you saw at the pot blessing, he is now fine. I never became ill. Sometimes my throat felt ever so slightly dry and sore, but I wouldn't receive it. It was a battle because for most of my life, I always came down with strep throat every single December. But this time, praise be to God, she overcame it. And that's awesome. Well, this not receiving it, because Jesus already did it for us, is the foundation of deliverance for all of the curse. And why should we receive a curse that Jesus suffered to deliver us from, right? Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is the curse that comes upon people because they've broken God's law, right? Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. And how do we not receive this curse? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And why is this? Because salvation from self works will not prepare us to survive a plague where God says he is the only immunization and it's not from man. In other words, they're not going to have any solution to this because the point is to wipe out. But God has the solution. So let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, we cast down any thought that the Word is not true now. Any thought that comes against what the Word says that we have as a benefit now. Because we were healed, according to what I just read, of every disease. We who are true Christians, who have confessed and forsaken our sins, are healed of every disease now. And Psalm 103 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you forget his benefits, you can lose the battle, you can lose your life. Of course, much of Christianity doesn't know about this benefit. So you can see how hard this is going to be on people who are not walking by faith. I do say that God has mercy on ignorance and children. You know that. So I'm not saying everybody's going to be wiped out that doesn't believe this. There was a time when we didn't believe it, but we were walking by faith and learning. You know what I'm talking about? Some people are just stuck in their Babylonish playpen. Forget not all his benefits, he said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All of them. All we have to do is what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yeah, so we have to admit it's sin. Some people are so proud they won't admit sin. You need to humble yourself. Everyone needs to humble themselves. He gives grace to the humble, right? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. All thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Okay, we can see that redemption delivers from all kinds of destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, notice, we are healed of all diseases. Our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed, and now we must eat only the Word. We must let into our thoughts only the Word, out of our mouth only the Word. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. All of these evil thoughts that are contrary to what the Word says are leaven. Even as you are unleavened. That's who we are in Christ. Notice that. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. If you've got that leaven, you're not going to survive. But because that's the old man, he has to die, right? But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Truth will set you free, won't it? Even when people are dying all around you, it'll set you free. Those who are believers have a Passover of the curse, while those who are Egyptian in their thoughts and actions do not. And that's a dangerous thing. I'm so glad that the Lord has shown us these things and we can share them with others, and you may have to do that. And don't forget, God resurrects the dead and he gives people wisdom. He gives them, especially in, they give up pride, especially in a situation where they think they're going to die, you know. Exodus 15 and 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. This is it. This is how you eat the flesh of the lamb. His word. And will do that which is right in his eyes. Not every man doing that which is right in his own eyes, right? And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Egyptians, of course, were the ones who were unbelievers and did not have a Passover. Notice, no disease will God put on you if you keep his statutes. And if you haven't kept his statutes, confess your sins so that you're healed. James 5 and 16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess therefore your sins. You want to be healed? Make sure there's no sin between you and God, because you won't have any faith. You won't have any boldness, right? Now, if a symptom comes on you to test your faith, because that does happen, just remember 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by what God says. And that's how you walk in the Spirit. This means that we believe the promise rather than what we see or feel. We have authority over the symptoms to cast them down by our faith. By these promises. Our faith is in these promises. Mark 11 and 22 says, And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. He must have known we could do it, or he wouldn't have commanded us to do it. Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, or curse, or plague of any kind, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You must cast down doubt. You must not entertain it. You must not war with it. Just get rid of it. But shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever, you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. The Greek word there is received. It's past tense. Even the received text has a footnote that's past tense. Received them. And you shall have them. Believe you already received them. That's what faith is. Faith causes things that be not as though they were. You already received them. That's why you can speak against them. You can be the method by which God does away with the curse. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Yes, because if you don't forgive, you don't have any benefits from God, because you're not forgiven. You're still under the curse. Better find out what forgiveness from the heart means. Otherwise, as Jesus said, he will turn you over to the tormentors. Notice, that we are to cast down all doubtful thoughts and to believe we have received, as Jesus said. And this is what faith is. Doubt is an enemy that seeks to destroy us, to separate us from the benefits. The devil's warring against us. He doesn't want us to have these benefits. He wants us to die. He wants us to be cursed. He wants us to be sick. But patience in your faith will give you everything. Some people start out with faith and they quickly lose it. They're not patient in their faith. They don't hold on to their faith, right? James 1 and 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations." And especially in this test that we're going through, okay? Manifold temptations. "Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." So if you're patient in your faith, you will lack nothing. You'll have everything. "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." But get this. "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting." In other words, you must treat doubt as not a weakness, but an enemy. "Nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So you can't be sure to get anything from God if you're double-minded, he's saying. That can be a desperate situation if you're talking about a coming pestilence, you know, plague. It can be a desperate situation. So it's time to practice faith and obedience now, so you can stand when you have to save yourself or your family or others from something like this. Amen. So here's Amber Bristol's testimony on the 7th of this January 2018, and it's a practice. It's a learning how to act on our faith. It's very good. She said, "I'm so encouraged by others' testimonies that I wanted to share my testimony with some of my brothers and sisters so that it would encourage you as well. David asked us to bring our examples of faith and failure. I didn't get sick during this horrible, quote, flu, unquote, also known as the Kim Crud epidemic, and I had learned a lot, but I couldn't think of anything, so I just prayed that the Lord would show me anything that he wanted me to share. And these are the dreams and testimonies that the Lord brought to my remembrance. First, to talk about fear. I used to battle fear in many forms. You name it, and I dealt with it. And one day, I was dealing with a fear, and I was getting ready to talk it over with the Lord. But he said unto me, "You are fearless. You are fearless." Think about that when you got fear. What the Lord says is, "You are fearless." I started to correct the Lord because I was feeling fearful and condemned, except I realized that he meant it. He meant I was fearless right now, not in the future. He saw me as fearless. And I might add that we have to see ourselves as fearless. Because if we receive the gospel, that we see Jesus in the mirror by faith, then we've been given all that he is. That's the gift that was given unto us. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, "But we all with an unveiled face." If your face is veiled, you don't understand the gospel. "We all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So remember that while you by faith are seeing Jesus in the mirror, which is of course saying that Jesus is in you, right? Remember that we don't live anymore. It is Christ who lives in us. Hence, we see Him in the mirror by faith. Therefore, we have His righteousness, His purity, His love, His forgiveness, His immunity, His fearlessness, His faith, His health, His power, His authority, and on and on. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. This is a statement of faith. It's the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. It is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Now you know, Jesus is good, He's righteous, He's pure, He's holy, He's all those things I just said. And you're accepting that gift by faith because of the cross. You're reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, as He commanded in Romans 6. So, but is Christ living in me? And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, that the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, a lot of people don't understand this giving Himself for us, but it's called reconciliation. The word means katalasso. It means an exchange of His life for yours. And the exchange is very real in the spirit realm. So much so that you can walk by faith and see Jesus in the mirror. And because His life was given to you, and your life was taken and nailed on the cross, I have been crucified with Christ, right? Then you're to see that you have everything that was given unto you in Christ. All those good things that I mentioned. You look at Jesus in the mirror, you can see His righteousness, purity, love, forgiveness, immunity, fearlessness, faith, health, power, authority, and on and on. That's yours. That's what's been given to you. It is yours. Now begin to act on it. Faith without works is dead. Faith is accounted as righteousness. And when you are accounted righteous, you are entitled to everything God gives to you in Jesus Christ. And notice, I've been crucified in Christ. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. And because of this, we are now the body of Christ, with all His attributes and benefits in the earth. As 1 John 4:17 says, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, not as He was, as He is, even so are we in this world. Can you be convinced? This is what faith is. Amber went on to say, we've been getting lots of dreams about a future plague, so when I saw some people in the fellowship getting sick, I got a little fearful. I thought, oh no, this isn't good. You've got fear. You're going to get sick. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. But I cast it down. I said, no. I don't have fear. I am fearless. That's what the Lord told her. He was just saying the truth about what we just saw. The gospel actually says. That's all. He was just agreeing with it. Okay? Here is a dream that she calls the wave. And that was November the 2nd, 2017. I had a dream that I was standing atop a huge amphitheater full of people. I knew it to be the world stage. I was standing on this concrete concourse waiting for a friend. Ever so often I would peek over the railing and see what the people in the theater were doing. Some other people were milling around with me, and a few people joined me at the last minute, when suddenly I heard gasps and screams of fear, and I looked up, and a huge dark wave was getting ready to break over the theater. I believe this huge dark wave represents the curses that we've heard are coming upon this Egypt, right? She said, I knew many people would be killed. I would die too, unless the Lord saved me. Well, because we believe in the Passover of the curse, which comes because of the Lamb of God, because we've eaten the Word of God, we can escape. I turned my back to the wave. In other words, not giving in to sight, but faith. You know, not wanting to be moved by sight. I turned my back to the wave and began to pray to the Lord. I thought, I never expected it to come this close to me. I thought I would only see it from far off. Well, let me say that the Bible says it will come very close, and we will see people die. Psalm 91 and 6 says, For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. That's close. And 10,000 at thy right hand. That's close. But it shall not come nigh thee, so it's not near enough to take you down. Right? Kind of like what she's going to share here. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. So that's pretty close. Unless you consider it's just on TV, but I don't have a TV, and lots of you probably don't either. And then I thought, I wonder if the Lord will translate me. I prayed something like, Lord, I commit my spirit into your hands. Well, how do we put ourselves in the hands of the Lord? We trust in the Lord to save us. You're in your own hands if you don't trust in the Lord. Now, we know the Lord can't lie, but we must believe in order to appropriate the promise. And then, she said, the dark wave hit me. The water was all around me. I was still standing atop the amphitheater. I could feel the solid concrete under my feet. I believe that that represents that we must stand on the rock of God's Word to be spared. You need to know what it says. You need to believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. That's how salvation in any form comes. It was like I was in a plexiglass box. And so this is probably trusting in his invisible protection. Don't look for something visible just because you don't have to see anything. It's his invisible protection. I couldn't see anything, but I knew the water was all around me. I could feel slight vibrations through the plexiglass, but I was safe. And I woke up and heard the Lord say, It shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thee. We just quoted from that, right? It will come close, but not near enough to take us down, right? The Lord wants you to see your salvation. Isn't that awesome? And then there's this revelation that she got about the mouse. She said, My toaster sits on top of my deep freeze, and I keep my blueberry English muffins right next to it. One day, I accidentally dropped some toast behind the deep freeze. I tried to get it, and then explained to my daughter that I should get it because that bread might draw a mouse. I tried to reach it with a broom, but gave up. And I decided, oh well, the Lord can protect us. Well, yeah, we give up natural efforts to save ourselves because salvation is not by works, but by faith. Trusting in our efforts is a curse. Jeremiah 17 and 5. says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm. In other words, salvation by your might, right? Whose heart departeth from the Lord, because without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. So, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, this person who trusts in their flesh and their own abilities, right? And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. The parched places. Do you want to live in the parched places or the well-watered places, right? A salt land and not inhabited. Not good, not good. That's a curse. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh. A lot of people are going to fear in the troubles that are coming upon the earth. But he said you won't fear. You have your roots down deep, and they're taken in the waters. Waters of the Word. But its leaf shall be green, and it shall not be careful in the year of drought. A leaf shall be green. Well, that's how it takes in the light of the sun and converts it to energy, right? And shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, people are very careful in years of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So, we must trust in the Lord. I've lived in this house for over 2 years, and we never had a mouse. Maybe 2 weeks went by, and I started to hear unusual sounds, like someone is moving furniture in the kitchen. They do get pretty noisy. You wouldn't think that little creature, even a cockroach, can do that and make a lot of noise. My goodness. And one day I looked behind the deep freeze and I saw the toast. I now could get it, and I saw that something had eaten over half of the piece. I brought this curse on myself by saying that the bread will bring a mouse. I repented for speaking the bad report. You remember the bad report when they saw the giants in the land? They didn't think they could overcome them, you know, so they spoke against the Lord, against His Word. And this repentance, of course, is a good thing to do, to have the Lord's favor. When you've muffed it, just repent and get up and go again. Don't waste a lot of time condemning yourself. The devil will try that too. I knew that I had to go through the trial of my faith and that the Lord didn't want me to put out traps, even though it's the norm. And that night I left my muffins out by the toaster. And I thought, well, the Lord brought this trial. He can keep my muffins. Well, amen. You know, while this thought is in my head, I'm just going to share this too. You know, if you have faith, have it unto yourself, the Bible says. Don't try to put your faith on someone else. You can encourage them with faith. You can encourage them with the Word. Don't condemn them, because you're getting proud when you do that. And when you get proud, guess what the Lord does to you? Pride cometh before the fall. So if you want to keep your faith and do good, don't be condemning. Just try to encourage people with faith, right? So she said, well, the Lord brought this trial and He can keep my muffins. Amen. Now, you know that English muffins come in a very thin plastic bag, which is very easy to nibble a hole in. But the next morning, my muffins were safe and sound. And this has gone on for over a month. And many mornings, there is evidence of a mouse on my deep freeze, but my muffins stayed safe in their plastic bag. Now, I'm guessing that she's changing those muffins every once in a while, because a month old muffins probably don't taste all that good. So, very soon into the trial, my daughter and I heard the mouse in our bedrooms. Oh my goodness. I started to get a little fearful. But I would picture myself lying on my bed in a little plastic muffin bag. And I thought that if God could keep my muffins safe, then He could keep the mouse off my bed too. That's right. And when we want to walk by faith and have God's provision, it's good to think these things through and come to faithful conclusions in our mind and understand how the devil seeks to trip us up, you know, and seeks to use unbelief, and understand how to apply faith, because faith without works is dead. It has to be applied, right? It helps us to apply our faith by faith-filled work. The enemy started to put fear into my heart about putting my shoes on without looking first. I imagined putting my foot in my house shoe and feeling a little furry body in there. I'd kind of cringe, but do it anyway. And then I realized that I was in fear and works and not in faith, and I began to put my house shoes away more often. Even though I was afraid, I spoke the opposite. By faith, I said, "No, I'm not afraid. Remember, I'm fearless." That's right. We have to do that. Remember who we are in Jesus. Look in the mirror. See Him, right? So one day, my mother comes to visit, and she brings two loaves of nice bread. Without thinking, I put them next to mine, and the Lord can keep them too. But each morning, I check and clean up any mouse poop before my mom wakes up. I'm not fearful that the mouse will eat her bread, but I don't want to explain my faith when she asks, "I thought you said you don't have a mouse. Why is there mouse poop here?" Everything is fine for a couple of days. The mouse leaves her bread alone too. But one morning, I'm walking over to the deep freeze to check on any evidence, quote unquote, when the Lord says, "Why are you looking?" In other words, we look because we are not sure that the Lord has answered, right? You know, you put a seed in the ground, you don't go over and dig it up every day just to make sure it's growing, right? I thought it was the enemy and say, "Because I want to. I look and see crumbs. I examine the bread, and there is a big hole in my mom's bag. How could this be? I thought I trusted the Lord." Why, my world started to crumble, and all sorts of questions flashed through my brain, but eventually I began to think about the Lord's question. Why was I looking? Let me see if the Lord answered today, right? No. It's the fear of man, right? Or the fear that the Lord's not answering. Either way. And the Lord says that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. But I didn't want to do that. I was fearful of what my mom would think about me. And the Lord showed me that that little bit of fear ate away at my faith. And like the mouse, the enemy came in through the hole and stole my faith. I repented, and the Lord has continued to keep my muffins. Amen. Okay, now we're talking about the trial. During one of the morning meetings, I began to be attacked with thoughts of jealousy. And of course, it could be anything. The devil constantly attacks us. He wants us to accept thoughts as from our own mind instead of an attack from him. And he even tells you he's God, so... Anyway, I began to be attacked with thoughts of jealousy, but I cast it down and declared that I have the mind of Christ and that He has covered all my sins. Well, if we look in the mirror and we believe the gospel, we have the mind of Christ. We confess it by faith until God brings it to pass, right? And we're accounted righteous because we confess Him before men. And when I came home, I was super cold. It was super cold. But my key wouldn't turn in the lock. My doorknob just turned around and around. I couldn't get in. And I'm feeling condemned about my earlier jealousy thoughts. And now I'm freezing and I don't know how to get into the house. So I panicked just a little bit. But I cast that down and managed to pick the lock with a credit card. And when I came into the house, I see mouse poop on the deep freeze, and I started to lose my cool. Amen. I have to help some friends with some things that day, and I felt so overwhelmed and condemned. So I was freaking out. And I tell the Lord, I can't handle it anymore. I can't help all these people deal with a mouse and not get sick too, and I'm ready to give up. Well, then of course you'd get sick, so that's pointless, right? We better talk ourselves out of that, right? I try to help my daughter with homeschool, but I am trying to keep from crying, and I am praying for help. All of a sudden, the Lord reminds me of David's teaching about scorpion spirits. Scorpizo means to penetrate and put to flight. You know, and it's the spirits that put thoughts into your mind, penetrate your mind, and they cause you to run from the devil instead of chase him. Right? So the Lord reminds me of David's teaching about scorpion spirits and how they put shame and doubt on you and how they make you want to give up. Wow, I realized that is what is happening. And poof, it all fizzled away, and I have faith again. Praise the Lord. It's funny how when you find out what the devil's doing, he can't hide it. You can take him out. So here's the testimony. We were supposed to bring testimonies of faith and failure about how we've dealt with this epidemic. I was getting ready to share the above testimonies and how I've used these to battle sickness, and the enemy says to me, "You haven't really been tested. You were never really sick like the other people. If you give your testimony, then you're going to get sick, and then you're going to look so stupid." Well, I'm sure everybody's heard that before. The devil has no new thing. But I refused to fall prey to fear of man, and I give my testimony anyway. So, what is the end of this? What I don't tell everyone is that my throat and back hurts. And I go home, and the enemy says, "Well, you need to go through this trial of your faith. You won't get sick, but this little trial will help your faith." I started to agree, when all of a sudden I think, why do I need to go through this trial? Wait just a minute. The Lord told me that the plague will not come nigh me. Yes, he did. We need to hold on to that, right? In my body is pretty nigh. Nope, I don't accept this. Before this trial, the Lord gave me a new gift. I have been feeling others people's pain, and I have been praying for them until the pain goes away. It's been confusing. I couldn't always tell if it was my pain or their pain, and I would run out of things to pray for and just pray in tongues until the pain would go away. So I said, "Aha! This isn't my pain. No sickness will come nigh me. This must be someone else's sickness. I'll pray for them." I prayed in tongues as I got ready for bed, and I prayed until I fell asleep. And she had this flying dream. I woke up around 3 a.m. with this dream. I was flying around between two houses, and some boys on the ground noticed me flying and asked me to get their toys, which were stuck on the roof. Well, flying represents overcoming the world, to walk in the Spirit through faith. Right? And how do you walk in the Spirit through faith but believe what the Word says contrary to your sight? That's how you walk in the Spirit. So on the roofs were targets with points written on each section. Higher points for the peak and less for the lower. Their toys seemed like laminated pieces of paper in the shapes of triangles. I don't know about you, but I remember folding papers up into triangles and tossing them and watching them spin through the air, you know. And as I flew, I was carrying a little boy about 5 years old. Well, I believe this is the spiritual man and grace. We would fly to the toys stuck on the roofs and would take turns throwing them down to the boys below. I believe these toys stuck on the roof represent those immature things that are affected by the world, as in gravity. You know, gravity, the world has a force. It tends to keep you stuck to the world, the things of the world, the ways of the world, so on and so forth. Gravity. The little boy pointed to something on my arms and said that they were starting to lose power. I knew that the game was over and I would come down. And you know, if we believe that we will lose power, then we will come down to the earthly. Those are some of the things that the devil tries to do to us. I knew that I had power in me that kept me aloft. But I also had these floaty things that helped me stay in the air, like what little kids wear while swimming. Well, staying aloft by grace through faith means that we don't rely on the works of man, right? Amen. But these were the same triangle-shaped things that the little boys were playing with. And I said to the little boy, "Do you want to do the honors?" As I motioned to the triangles on my arms, and he took one and threw it down to the boys below. The spiritual man, I believe, this probably is saying that the spiritual man has no need of physical helps to overcome the world. I woke up and I thought, cool, I was overcoming. And I had the man-child in my arms, and he was 5. And that's grace. Very neat. Well, the Lord has been waking me up around this time every morning with other people's weird pains. And I would pray in tongues until I fell back asleep. And this morning I woke up with my throat and back. Still didn't hurt, but my lungs hurt. Now, I needed to pray for myself to keep flying. Well, amen, that's the whole point, right? So I prayed for the next 3 hours. I didn't get sleepy. But I never prayed for myself in my mind. I continued to pray in tongues for that other person who was in pain. And as I headed to the morning meeting, my lungs stopped hurting. But now my ribs hurt. I continued to pray as I drove, and I felt really good and happy, and I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. And this is the verse that the Lord gave me this morning, and I believe it is the key to overcoming. Matthew 22:37-39. And he said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the great and first commandment. And a second like unto it is this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So how is this a key to overcoming? Well, I believe if we love the Lord and our neighbor, we will learn faith and its actions, because it's the only way to walk in the Spirit and be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. We need to walk in the Spirit to escape these things. We need to be able to confess faith in the midst of things looking contrary to our well-being. We need to learn to speak in agreement with the Word and cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is how we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the flesh, we're moved by earthly things. They can affect us. They can destroy us, etc., etc. If we walk in the Spirit, we're able to abide in Jesus Christ and to stay connected to the Word. Hold fast to the Word, not be moved or double-minded. Remember, the double-minded man is not going to receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded just means two-souled. That means you think in the Lord and then you think in the world. And that is doubt, double-mindedness, unbelief. You may have to make war against double-mindedness because it's not a part of Jesus. You may have to make war against unbelief. It's not a part of Jesus. When you behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're saying that He is in me. Everything that He is now in me because of the gift of God and by my faith, right? So therefore, we are bold in our faith. We are delivered from evil. We are sanctified. We are holy. Anything that you need from God, Jesus is the answer. He became the answer when He made reconciliation. So therefore, everything that Jesus is, we now have. It is ours. Now, I'm sure you can think up a long list. I only mentioned just a few, but there's a whole long list of what Jesus is. And there is nothing that affects you in this world that is not remedied by what Jesus did and by who He is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you believe Christ is in you? The Jesus Christ, not the Jesus of the dead religions, of course. We're talking about the real Jesus, the only Jesus, the one who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, the one who gave us an eternal covenant that man keeps loving to change. But we got to go back to that covenant to find out these wonderful things that He's given to us and begin to walk in that full gospel, not in the apostate religions of today. These things will kill people. Remember, the harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. The harlot is lying to its people. It's saying that these things all passed away. And so what? It puts their own people in jeopardy. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we appreciate these awesome benefits. And Lord, we've heard from You that there is a plague coming, a pestilence coming, that is going to take people out. Well, we've seen a little mini example of this in this chem crud that's going around. And Lord, we've pointed out a few lessons here concerning this. We know that You're trying to get us ready and that we should think on these things. If we really love You and our neighbor, we'll live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto You or to be of any use to our neighbor. So thank You, Lord, for doing this for us. Thank You, Lord, for causing us to be walking and flying above this world, overcoming this world, Lord. Thank You for causing us to overcome this world. To not be at the mercy of gravity that holds us to the earthly. Thank You, Father, for Your wonderful deliverance. Thank You that it's all accomplished at the cross, that we don't have to fear anymore because Jesus has come to deliver us. He is our Savior in all things, and we know how to make Him Savior. But to some people, that's just words. We have to accept what He says. We have to accept that what He says about us is correct, and that's how we make him our Savior. This is how we put our trust in him. This is how we commit ourselves into his hands, is to believe what he said. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So, Lord, we come into agreement with you that Jesus lives in us, that the things that we once did are all crucified and nailed to the cross. The life that we once were is all crucified and nailed to the cross. And now the one who lives in us is Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this awesome revelation. We ask that it actually become effective in our life, that we learn how to put it to work in the things around us, that you will continue to open doors to help us to understand how many ways can this wonderful principle be applied and how to apply it. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for your mighty miracles moving through us. Thank you for your wonderful protection around us because of the Lamb of God who bore not only the curse of sin, but also that of death. So thank you, Father, for these things. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us today, brethren. Lord bless you and keep you. I love you, and please keep praying for us. Amen. Good night.